see the world through the eyes of Mara as she interacts with the most greatest figure in all of history, Yeshua, or as we know him, Jesus Christ. Coming up next, right here on The Right Stuff. Stay tuned. You are listening to the best, the only place to be on Tuesday night. That's right, you're listening to The Right Stuff, and you're at the right place at the right time. From England to Canada, from Detroit to the Coconuts, we are showcasing Christian authors worldwide, giving you tips, tools, techniques, and resources for you, the writer, to hone and perfect your craft. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on WPJC 104.5. And your host, Parker J. Cole. Hi, and welcome to another edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the Queen, Parker J. Let me tell you, I am so excited you are here with me today. We are going to have such an awesome time with my guest co-host and contributor today, Joanne Atta. She is the author of the book, Daughter of Jerusalem. And if you want to get into the eyes of a young person during the time of Christ, this is the book you want to read. So definitely go ahead and love on my sister today and get a copy of that book by simply going to Amazon or wherever books are sold. And let me tell you, you won't be disappointed. It's gotten great reviews, and that's for a reason. So we'll talk about that in just a few moments. I want to thank you all for your support. My 11th book release came out yesterday. It's called Lantern of Faith, part of the Lantern in the Window series. If you like sweet historical fiction, I find myself a new genre to write in, so definitely go ahead and pick up your copy today. I'm really excited about doing that because I always encourage authors on the show to pick up the pen and write. And writing in a historical fiction novel was very new for me. I didn't know what to do with that. I didn't know if I could do it effectively for that matter. But so many of you really enjoyed Wanted Man of Honor, which is my very first historical, that I decided to do it again with Lantern in the Window series that I'm co-writing with Lynn Donovan. I want to thank you all for your support. You know, we talk about this thing called writing, but if you use the gift that God gave you, what's going to happen is that he's going to take that gift and he's going to morph it into something else. So what you think you may be wanting to write for the rest of your life changes over time, because as your writing skills get better, your wordsmith skills get better, you start to say, hey, maybe I could tackle another genre that I haven't written in. Like most of you all know, I write romances, sweet romances and some edgy romances, you know, nothing explicit, but you know, that's what I write. But at the same time, now I'm writing sweet historical romances. And there is a time when I would never have done anything like that. What are you doing with your writing talent? Are you using the talent that God gave you? I urge you that if God has given you the talent to write, or if you have a message that you know needs to get out there, make sure you pick up the pen and write stuff. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. When we come back, we'll be talking to Joanne Atta. She is the author of Daughter of Jerusalem, available on Amazon.com. or wherever books are sold. If you want to call in, you certainly can by calling in at 646-668-8485 and then press that 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag write stuff with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on The Write Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then AuthorShout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at AuthorShout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer, no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Rightstream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, the queen here. And we are going to be talking to my wonderful guest, co-host, and contributor today, Joanne Atta. She is the author of the book, Daughter of Jerusalem. And if you want to see the world through the eyes of a young girl as she interacts with Christ, this is the book for you. It's gotten a lot of great reviews, and I want to make sure that you go ahead and get a copy of this book, not tomorrow, not 2 days from now. Go ahead and get a copy of this book today. You will not be disappointed. I want to thank Right Now Literary Tours, which is hosted by Paulette Harper, for connecting us together. Me and Paulette have been working together for the last 3 years, and she always sends the greatest guest on the show. So Paulette, again, thank you for the connection with me and Joanne. And without further ado, I want to introduce our guest co-host and contributor today, Joanne Atta. Joanne, how are you doing today?
Very well. Thank you so much, Parker, for having me here.
And I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be with me on the show. I never take it lightly that you do. It is so great to have you, because so many people want to get good fiction for the young people in their family. They want to get good fiction. They want to have fiction that is edifying and also exciting and thrilling, like Daughter of Jerusalem. So we definitely want to let people just dig into this novel and dig into the person behind it, which is yourself. And so I'm really excited to have you here. Now, I can always just read a bio. Anyone can. I can always read a bio and say, hey, this is Joanne. But you go ahead and tell us who you are in your own words.
Well, I think one of the biggest surprises of my life is to find myself an author at this point. Because I, as a young mom, I sort of thought about writing, and I took some courses in writing, particularly courses in writing for children and young people, but it just didn't materialize. It was sort of disappointing. At that time, you couldn't really self-publish, and so you'd have to send manuscripts out and wait to hear, you know, and you couldn't send more than one person at once, and it was all very grueling, and I was a busy mom with two daughters, and I busied myself with a lot of other things in the meantime. But there were two ideas that had come to me, and I really felt called to write those particular books, just those two. And it was almost like, you know, life is just not going to be complete without having written those two books. And one was a book for children, but the first one that came to me was the idea for Daughter of Jerusalem. And I pictured a father who was a member of the Sanhedrin in Jesus' time. This is the Jewish council who met at the temple, and he's a Pharisee, and he has a daughter who's in a very unusual position for a young woman of her time, because he has been teaching her the holy books, which you'd never do for a daughter. You'd only do that for a son. But since he wasn't able to have any more children after she was born, he didn't have a son. And so he just warmed to the idea of teaching her. So here she is, you know, this literate and you know, a Bible scholar, really, of her time, and a female. So what is she going to do with it? And that's kind of the position that she's in when she first meets Jesus during one of his visits to Jerusalem during the holy festivals. And, you know, I had just this general idea, but it took years before it came to fruition. And part of that was I felt like I had a lot of research to do. And part of that was just a lot of life coming in and intervening. But finally, my daughter, I told her the story that had come to me. And this is about 2009. And she said, "Mom, you've got to write that book." And then I really started getting going. I had done a lot of research already because I love the Bible. So whether I thought I was researching for this or, you know, doing other research, it was kind of contributing to it. But it finally, you know, I began to get back in the research. And then when I discovered that I could actually publish on my own, that really was the final thing that needed to be in place.
What finds so interesting about that is that, you know, back in the day, self-publishing was like the redheaded stepchild of the publishing industry. They didn't want you to self-publish because people thought, oh, if you have to self-publish it, it must not be good. And we have to, in one sense, thank Amazon, because Amazon exploded when they started to publish books, especially ebooks. You have to really thank them for that on one hand, because it blew everything out the water. All of a sudden, traditional publishing now seems to be, it's not the redheaded stepchild, but it's the old matron of the school that you don't want to be bothered with, because indie authors have found a wonderful ways to gain followings, gain a tribe, if you will, to work and get their story. So it's very interesting how that happened. I like how you told some of the story behind Daughter of Jerusalem. And so my next question kind of goes a little bit back behind the book, is that, you know, you said you were surprised to be a writer. It kind of happened to kind of, you know, wow, this is it. I'm a writer. How did this happen? You kind of expressed that to us. And so, you know, I want to ask you a question, is because it comes to Bible teaching and Bible stories, one thing you say that I love the Bible. So you're going to research it. You're going to dig down deep into it. You're going to eat it. You know what I mean? But when it comes to parents,
right,
their children, Bible stories, what are some things they need to consider? So go ahead, talk to us about that.
Well, I think kids just naturally love stories, and they especially love stories where good triumphs, right? So the Bible is just a natural for them, isn't it? And the parents really need to love it too, and I doubt if they'd be sharing it if they didn't feel that way. And I think it helps a lot if the parents can find out a little bit about the customs of those times, because, you know, there are things that you really, it's hard to understand if you don't. And, you know, I think that that's helpful. And they can explain some of these things to their children and help that time to come alive for them. But mostly it's just the spiritual lessons that you get from it. They're just wonderful. But stories are exciting. And I mean, Jesus knew that too, didn't he? He taught in parables. That's why, because we all love a good story, and you know, but
stories are the universal language. They're the universal language.
Yeah.
Stories are, because everyone loves. I've used this example before on the show, Joanne. But I remember one time I was at work and someone said, "Do you know what happened yesterday?" And they're talking to somebody else, but I immediately slow up because I want to hear the story. You know, what did happen yesterday? And also, I'm taking forever to get my tea together, you know, and pour my little sugar because I want to hear what's going on with the story. So stories really do connect us, and especially with the Bible. I like how you said, you know, parents, you know, some of the customs and what the time frame was like, because in Daughter Jerusalem, it was highly unusual for a young woman to be literate because that wasn't her job. And when you're dealing with a patriarchal society, they have certain places. That's why when Jesus came, and when he came to these people, he was completely radical in his approach to things, completely radical. We take these things for granted. We take them for granted because we never lived in a society where that was. Even back earlier in time, where it wasn't as like where feminism right now is real huge and stuff like that right now. But even back then, we still expected respect. We still expected to be treated like equals, where you're dealing with a time when women were not treated like equals. They were treated like second-class citizens. And so these type of things are important to know why Jesus made such a huge impact during this time frame. So for our parents out there, if you want to get a book that's going to show and peel back the veil of what it was like to be a girl who was different in that time frame, Daughter of Jerusalem is definitely the book you want to pick up and read. So my next question I want to ask you, Joanne, is this. You know, you say you want to write this book to teach younger readers. And I think that's significant because when you're reaching to younger readers, they have to be excited about what they're reading. And we all know how Harry Potter is very big, even for some of the adults. Harry Potter is very big, and we know about The Lion, The Witch, and the Wardrobe, and Lord of the Rings, stuff like that. But you want to gear toward young readers. Why did you want to do that?
Well, I love children, and I'm a teacher, have been for quite a few years of my life, and so I think that probably influenced it, and I guess there's certain types of things. I noticed that you said, you know, there were certain types of scenes you didn't want in your romances and this kind of thing. And I knew that wasn't the kind of thing that I wanted to write either. And so, you know, I think it's so important for them to have something that is that lifts them. And that's why that seemed important.
I think it's good to have good, wholesome fiction for our youth, too, while you're still educating them, because when they read Daughter of Jerusalem, they're going to be back in the first century world, which is highly, highly different from the 21st century world. I mean, go figure. You had to walk everywhere you go. There were no cars back then, you know. Point number one,
right.
You know what I mean? So 21st century readers are going to be just thrown back into Bible times. And when we think about Bible times, we want to think about, we think of it like almost like fantasy, but it wasn't fantasy, it's history, you know, because history, like someone told me, is simply old things happening to new people. That's what they said. You still have problems back then. You still had inequality. You have it now. You have it back then. So lots of things are going on. So history, like someone told me, is just old things happening to new people. When we get back, we're going to continue our discussion with Joanne Atta. But if you want to weigh in and ask a question, you know you can. Call in at 646-668-8485 and then press that 1 to be live on air. Or hit me on Twitter, Parker J. Cole, hashtag right stuff with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious. We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com. or order a print issue on magcloud.com. If you would like more information about SoarMag Digital, check us out on soarmag.com or contact us at soarmag@yahoo.com. SoarMag Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJT 104.5. Again, the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J. And we're talking to my guest, co-host, and contributor today, Joanne Otta. She is the author of the book Daughter of Jerusalem, which is available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. If you want your young reader, probably about middle grade or so, if you want them to be thrown back into time with a story of adventure, of excitement, and of learning about our faith through the eyes of a young girl named Mara, who is an aberration of her time, you definitely want to pick up Daughter of Jerusalem. Make sure you pick it up today. Love of My Sister, pick it up today, and then make sure you leave a review. I tell you all the time, reviews help authors breathe at night. It lets us know that we did what we said we were going to do and that you liked it. Or if you didn't like it, let us know how we can improve, because we can't improve, we don't get any feedback. So make sure you get a copy of Daughter of Jerusalem today. And Joanne, once again, thank you so much for being with us on the show to talk about your book, Daughter of Jerusalem. And then later on in the broadcast, we're going to also highlight your other book called The You Song. I can't wait to get to that, but then we'll get to that in a few moments later on in the broadcast. The one question I had to ask you, though, is do you think, you're a teacher, so you have a gauge on these kind of things. In general, do you think young people are interested in history, yes or no? And if it's yes, why do you feel that way? If it's no, why do you feel that way? Give us your thoughts.
Well, I think that history is a story, and all children are interested in stories. But I think very often history is taught as if it's a lot of dates that you have to memorize. And that's not very exciting. So I think just making history come alive, children will naturally love it. And, of course, it's about people. It's about us. And sometimes it is stranger than fiction and very exciting. So there's no reason they wouldn't be interested in it if it's properly taught to them.
I like how you make the point that history is not just a matter of dates. It's people. It's the story of people. I remember when I was 18, I was like 18, you know, 2 days ago, I was 18 and I was taking community college because I did really bad in high school. So I took community college, kind of bring my grades up before I went to college. And so I had a teacher and he taught history, and I did not have enough money to have books. I didn't have enough money to get books. And so what he did, he filled the board up with all the notes on the board. But when he told the story of the history of what we were talking about, I was so fascinated by what he said. There is no way I would forget anything he told me. And then when I had a chance to read the book and read the notes, it just cemented in my mind. And he made history fun. So I really resonate with that. And a question I sent out to our viewers and our listeners out there today, I said, what biblical era would you travel to if you had a time machine? Because you're talking about first century in your book, Joanne, you're talking about first century Jerusalem. So I had to ask our listeners and our supporters, what would you do? And so Kessie from Oregon says, one of the times Israel was peaceful and prosperous. That would minimize my chances of being hideously murdered, raped, maimed, sold into slavery, or all three by Israel's enemies. Kessie, thank you so much for your comment. What do you say to that, Joanne?
Well, I think it probably makes a lot of sense. and certainly the time that this book is written about would not have been one of the safest times to be living in Palestine, you know?
Yeah.
Because the Romans executed people in the most excruciating way possible, and they were lined up along the road, those crosses.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not a fun time. There were good people then as now, and so I think to write about, I'm fine with it. I'm not, you know, it, whether I'd want to have lived then, well, maybe to see Jesus, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I hear you there.
J-
you know, I've gotten used to the internet. I've gotten used to running water. I've gotten used to so many things in the 21st century that I don't think I could live without. But hey, if you don't know, you don't have it. You won't know what you're missing. So we got a comment from Joanna calling. I mean, comment from Joanna in Rochester Hills. And I'm sorry, Kessie is from Mesa, Arizona, not Oregon. My apologies. Joanna from Rochester Hills, Michigan says, when Enoch walked with God, era, will be nice to see the world before the flood. Joanna, thank you so much for your comment. Joanne?
Yeah, very. That would be very interesting. You know, I don't really know what to say about that because, you know, I think it would be interesting.
I think
any
so
time
too.
During the Bible.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too, especially during that particular time period. I mean, this is before the flood. This is before the aftermath of the flood. I would love to have seen it. It would have been just absolutely beautiful. So I really resonate with what Joanna is saying with that. Erica from Detroit says, King Solomon praying and the glory of the Lord filling the temple. And then she says, watch the creation of the earth. Wonder what it would be like to see earth without form and void. Oh, please. Watching snakes walking around. How do their legs and feet look? And that's from Erica from Detroit, Michigan. Erica, thank you so much for your comment. I like the wonder that Erica puts into her comment there, and I think that mimics how children think. There's wonder in these narratives of the Bible, and that's why I like how you said it's not just dates, it's stories. You know, the Lord, he connects with us through stories. Like, the Word of God is full of a lot of narratives of things that happen to people, not just dates. You know, matter of fact, we had to do all kind of carbon dating and other things to get the dates and when stuff happens, to get stuff happen. But when he tells us these things, it's through the narrative of story. So what do you think about Erica's comment, Joanne?
This is about the time of Enoch?
No, that was Joanna. Erica says, King Solomon praying and the glory of the Lord filled the temple and then watching the creation of the earth.
Yes, so that's when she would like to have in there.
That's what she said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well.
And then Frank from Ohio says, when Satan is thrown into the lake of fire. Now, that is not, I don't know if that's like a historical thing as much as a futuristic thing. So I'll go with Frank on that one. And then Ricky is a fellow author. Her name's Armstrong. Ricky says, selfishly, I'd like to see how much my sanctified imagination got right in her book called God of Chaos. But I don't do well with heat and humidity. So that's Ricky. And she's from Oregon. She's a fellow author. And then Lewis says, obviously the days of Jesus himself, nothing else even comes close to a second. So that's Lewis's idea. And Lewis, thank you so much for that. And that's why you wrote Daughter of Jerusalem, what you say? Are you kind of resonated with what Lewis said there?
That's the thing, Parker, because writing that, what do you follow it with? That's the problem. Because people say, well, are you going to write a sequel, you know? Well, a sequel would be, you know, after he was here. And, you know, it would seem somewhat of a come down, I think.
I hear you.
But,
and he's from Greenville, Texas. Lewis, thank you so much for that comment. Another comment we received, I'm just kind of reading off the comments just so you can see what kind of, you know, eclectic thoughts we have. Jeremy from Dalton, Alabama says, I like to go back to the garden and see the earth at its most pristine. Jeremy, thank you so much for your comment. And then David from Texas says, nothing would even come close to the chance to walk and talk with Christ incarnate himself. David, thank you so much for your comment. And then Allie from Indiana says, too many to choose from. Seeing Jesus and his ministry, creation, Daniel in the lion's den, Moses, I could keep listening. And that's Allie from Indiana. And then Unoma from Georgia says, the garden. And she says, I love this question. And I like the question, too, because where would we want to put ourselves back in time? You know, especially in the Bible with the stories that have sustained us. And the words that have given us comfort in the time of turmoil. I mean, where would you want to go to be back when this was all happening for us? And so I really resonate with that, too. And then David Quinn, who is our last one, says, King Solomon's rule. And that's what he would want to see. And I want to thank all of our listeners who supported sharing your comments and things. So you heard kind of the eclectic thoughts of where people want to go back in biblical times. You know, what's your like final thoughts on that? When you hear the different things that we all shared on the show, what are your final thoughts about that, Joanne?
Well, I still feel like that first century when Jesus was here, as some of them said, really just towers above everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's why I reached for that and just value it greatly.
Oh, I agree. I think, too, when some of those comments, what they do, they kind of let us know that, of course, seeing Christ, of course, is the epitome of it all. We're all waiting to get to heaven. I saw a picture recently, Joanne, where the woman, they show a picture of the first day in heaven, and they show this woman hugging Christ, you know, hugging him, and there's rainbows all around her, you know, and I was almost crying. I was like, that'll be me, you know, wipe the tears from our eyes, you know, and so that's why I kind of just want to get our listeners' thoughts about that, because you did something, you're taking our children to the time frame of the first century and letting them know, hey, this is what's going on. And so the reason why I asked that is you kind of told us what the idea from the book came from. And then you said you had to do research. And so how long did it take for you to research this book? And this is an important question for our listeners who are trying to do writing and they want to write historical fiction. They need to know, because it's okay if it takes a while, because you want to make sure that your book has that authenticity. You understand what I mean, Joanne? So go ahead, tell us how long it took for you to research.
That would be really difficult to estimate because I got a whole the first thing I realized I needed to research, because I knew I was familiar with the Bible and the stories there. But what I really wanted was to know what would their everyday life have looked like. And I didn't feel I had quite that picture. And so I started getting books about that. And then there's this long break, you know, of over 20 years when I really wasn't doing specific research at all for this book. And then later I began doing research and writing, you know, all these index cards and everything, just trying to get everything exactly as it should be. And in the process, I almost talked myself out of actually writing the book, because I got so completely wrapped up in the research. You know, it was fascinating, but not that creative, you know? And I started feeling like, well, can I really do this? And so at that point, I did contact a friend who was a published author to see whether maybe she'd like to take the story and run with it. And she said that she had a book contract, couldn't do anything till the following year, and told me, you know, that if I wanted to do something in the meantime, I could make her an outline. And so this outline just grew and grew and grew. And then I started thinking, well, you know, because outline sounded doable. And then I took the outline and started to flesh it out. And, you know, I realized I didn't have to know everything there was to know about life in those times before I actually started writing. So, you know, speaking about research, you don't necessarily have to have completed it. Like, for instance, there's a childbirth scene in it. And so I wanted to know more about that. Well, I researched that once I knew there was going to be a childbirth scene in it, you know. And what I found out later on. So, you know, I wouldn't say you have to do all the research before and then write. It just depends.
So you kind of get what you need to get that scene out then. That's what you're saying. Get what you need to get the scene going. What are you going to say?
Yeah.
Please continue.
Yeah. Well, so it's very difficult to say how long it took. But I think the main thing, and maybe more important than how long the research, is how long it took me to grow to the point where I could write that book, you know? Because a lot of that came from my own individual spiritual growth. And I think, you know, just a matter of when are we ready? So, you know, I don't feel like it was a bad thing that it took so long.
Mm-hmm. I like that you say that, because of the fact that for myself, when I wrote my very first book, which is a thriller novel, my very first book, it took 10 years to finish. And I was not mature. I started at a younger age, but I guess I hadn't experienced life. And so when you start to experience life, you get all kind of material for your books. You get all kind of material. And so I guess I had to experience life more. And then when it came out at the right time. You know what I mean? So I like that you said that, because you learned, hey, you don't have to have all the research down and, you know, down and ready to get what you need to kind of get that story. Because research in and of itself can take you down. You can get boggled down by the details. And so I totally resonate with that too. My next question I had to ask you was this, you know, what advice would you give to authors who are looking to add that authenticity to their stories about biblical times? Because biblical historical fiction is different than a lot of other historical fiction, because there's a phenomenally radical difference to it, because we're talking about Christ. We're talking about definitely Christianity. We're talking about these things relating to that, you know, Jewish history, Middle Eastern history, Eastern mindset, all kind of things are related to that. So what kind of advice would you give to authors who want to make sure they add the authenticity to their books?
Well, it's just the kind of books that I was getting are very helpful, you know, what everyday life was like, and knowing what's behind what you're reading in the Bible. I think one of the most amazing scenes in the entire Bible is in the fourth chapter of John, where Jesus encounters a woman, a Samaritan woman, at a well. This is the first one to whom he reveals that he is indeed the Christ. This woman, who would have three strikes against her. He shouldn't even be talking to her in public if she was a respectable Jewish woman. But she's a disrespectable Samaritan woman, you know, three strikes against her. But she's the one. And then we realize how remarkable. And we all think of the word good Samaritan, but to say the good Samaritan in those days to a Jewish audience was radical, really radical, because they hated the Samaritans. So, you know, it helps to know things like that as, you know, when you're writing, to be aware. That's where the authenticity is being aware of the attitudes and the customs of the time. And you get that, you know, through good books.
And we are talking today to Joanna Atta. She is the author of the book Daughter of Jerusalem, which is available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So what I want you to do is go ahead and get a copy of this book today. Make sure you love my sister. Get a copy of this book. Let her know how much you enjoyed it by leaving a review, or let her know what you thought about it by leaving a review. You know, I always tell you, reviews are very good for we authors to have. When we come back, we'll be talking more to Joanna. You still have a chance to call in at 646-668-8485 and then press that 1. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The Spec Faith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff. Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff on WPJT 104.5, the best online radio station in the land. Guess what? We are talking to Joanne Otta. She is the author of the book Daughter of Jerusalem, which is available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So if you have a young middle grade student who wants, likes history, likes a good book, this is the book you want to get them. We have a very unconventional heroine. We have Mara, who is a girl in the first century whose father is part of the Sanhedrin. So he's a Pharisee. And so he's very smart. These people were not silly at all. They were very smart. But because he couldn't have any more children, he taught his daughter, who wasn't supposed to be taught, everything he knew. So she's a Bible scholar at the time of Christ. And so this is the backdrop of the book, Daughter of Jerusalem. And so you were talking earlier, Joanne, about knowing what the customs were like back then. And so let's peel back the veil a little bit. How does life differ for Mara than it would for a 21st century child? So go ahead and tell us a little bit about that everyday life back then.
Mm-hmm. Well, it would have been very different because at the beginning of the book, Mara is 14 years old, which is still, you know, you're on the verge of womanhood, but essentially you wouldn't expect to be a mother soon. And for Mara, there are a lot of girls her age who are already married. Mm-hmm. And she's at her sister's wedding at the beginning of it, and her sister's only 2 years older than she is. So she's marriageable, and she knows that for her, life is going to consist of keeping house and child-rearing. That's what's expected of her. So she has kind of limited options. So it's a very different life for a girl of that time than it would be today.
That's the thing that I find fascinating. I was reading somewhere, Joanne, that childhood, the way we see childhood now, it's actually kind of radically different than what it was back then, because children were simply adults in miniature. You know, they could have treaties and I remember reading about some of the kings and queens in England, they were betrothed when they were like 5 years old because they just didn't have any kind of relations, but they were like 5 years old when they were betrothed and they got married when they were 12 because they thought that was the age of accountability, was the age of 12. And other little things too. I even think about Alexander the Great, you know, he was 14 years old, taking on grown men in war, you know, so it's very interesting how childhood has changed in the 21st century as opposed to the first century, because I think you were expected to have more responsibility at an earlier age. Whether or not that's good remains to be seen. We don't know. But it's very interesting how that changes. And so that's one difference between the first century and the 21st century is that, hey, I'm 14 years old. Hey, I can get married right now. We're like, what are you doing? You can't get married at 14. You have to go to school. You know, we have those kind of questions now, you know. And so my next question deals with, you know, what are some of the themes that you discuss in Daughter of Jerusalem?
Well, one thing, because the last couple of days I've had the pleasure of reading it out loud to a group at a nursing home. And that has really been interesting, you know, to read it out loud and really go through it again. And I realized that I use the symbol of light quite a lot, which isn't surprising in this particular context. One of the things that comes into play fairly often is Jesus' very powerful and very special way of seeing. You know, he could be in the same situation that you or I would be in and see it from an entirely different and much higher perspective. And getting to, you know, just think about what that meant. I don't have all the answers in the book, obviously. I'm still working on that. But I think it's important to be thinking about as we're reading about his life here. And another is the impact that he had on other people, both, you know, individuals and the Jewish people in general. Because when he came to Jerusalem, they perceived that as a potential threat because he was so popular. And they thought, well, this could lead to some rabble-rousing, and we certainly don't want that to happen, especially not at Passover time, because those Romans were watching them very carefully, and if any trouble broke out, they might lose some of their freedoms. And this is why Caiaphas said, you know, well, it's better that one man should die, you know, for the people than, you know, that this should happen. So, you know, we can, that's another of the themes that comes into play is just, and the interaction between Rome and the Jews. We see a lot about that.
And those are just some of the aspects of history that makes the story so compelling with Daughter of Jerusalem. Now, I want to have people to have an opportunity to hear an excerpt from Daughter of Jerusalem. Do you have an excerpt, Ray, that you can share with us?
Okay. Now, my very favorite scene I can't share with you because it would be a spoiler. And
okay.
That is the scene where Mara is actually having a conversation with Jesus, who is known as Yeshua.
Yes.
I should mention that in this book, Yeshua, because he would have been called by his Aramaic name by the people of his time. So that's one of the things that is a little different. But anyway, but that it's that one-on-one scene that is my absolute favorite. But I think I can read this without any giving away anything. And Mara and her friend Nathan have gone to the edge of the Kidron Valley, which is just to the east of Jerusalem, and they are waiting because they know that Jesus is going to be approaching from the east, coming over the Mount of Olives. And Jesus is, it's Palm Sunday, so you know this is going to be a crowd who are eager to see him and to greet him. And so Mara and Nathan are standing on the Temple Mount, looking out toward the Mount of Olives. They wait. The sun moves westward and the crowd swell. Just when it seems they can endure no more waiting, Mara and Nathan begin to hear distant sounds from the crest of the Mount of Olives. Palm branches are being waved in the air as the crowd gravitates as one body toward a figure Mara can barely distinguish. She has no doubt, however, that it is Yeshua. The wave of excitement builds as he slowly, steadily descends the hill. By the time he completes the descent and begins to cross the Kidron Valley, they can see that he is not walking, but riding on a donkey's colt, just big enough to bear his weight. Mara remembers the words of the prophet Zechariah. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king comes to you lowly and riding on the colt of a donkey. She feels as if she's living in this very moment the fulfillment of that prophecy. And she knows that she is not alone in this feeling. Some in the crowd are placing palm branches and even their outer clothing in Yeshua's path so that the dust will not soil the garments of their king. At last she can hear what they are shouting, words from a psalm that she knows by heart. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Mara's heart beats faster as the tiny donkey with its precious burden grows closer and closer. She hears two of the Pharisees conversing right behind her. They have evidently heard the shouting and come down from the temple to see what is happening. One of them comments bitterly, "Do you see what all our efforts have come to? It seems as if the whole world is following after this man." At last, Yeshua comes into full view, lurching along on top of his little humble mount. Clothes and palm branches are quickly spread out on the dusty road before him. The voices cry out ever louder the closer he gets. Suddenly, one of the Pharisees behind Mara shouts to Yeshua in a harsh twang that pierces the enthusiastic clamor of the crowd. "Rabbi, you are approaching the temple. Speak to these followers of yours and bid them be quiet." The procession comes to a dead stop directly in front of Mara and Nathan. Yeshua turns to the Pharisee who has just shouted the command. "I tell you," he replies, "that even if these people were silenced, the very stones on the roadside would cry out." Then he continues his ascent toward the temple. Mara notices that Yeshua's face is particularly solemn today. His mood seems strangely at odds with the exuberance of the multitude of hopeful Jews who are celebrating his arrival. What is on his mind, she wonders. What does he know? Do not.
I love that excerpt, Joanne. What a beautiful excerpt that you shared with us. And I know that just titillated our listeners out there for that book, Daughter of Jerusalem, which is available for sale on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And you know something, Joanne, we're getting close to the end of our show. We've been having such a great time talking with you. But I do want people to know about your other book that you have, because you were talking about before the show, and you really want parents to know that, hey, it's not just this book, which actually is geared toward a certain age group, but there's another book out there that you want to share with us. Go ahead and tell us about that book.
Okay. Well, I used to teach children who were struggling with dyslexia. Mm-hmm. And we had to use a very carefully sequenced vocabulary, because we had to have covered the concepts, the phonics concepts involved in these. And I thought, I would like to write a book for those children that would be user-friendly for them as far as reading is concerned, but also be beautiful, have beautiful illustrations, and a beautiful message. And the message of the You song is that you are a song like no other song God has ever sung, and that you can let that song go out to his world and bless. And so that's what the You song is all about. And it has photographs for illustrations, beautiful color photographs of children of both sexes and all races, being children. And each page has a picture that just fits in with the text. And I have to say, my daughter, Megan Williams, is the one that helped me making it come to life through pictures, because the poem was in existence for about 10 years before that happened. But it's, I would say, for pre-readers and early readers, ages 3 to 7. And it's, the You song is the name of it, and it is available in the same places where Daughter of Jerusalem is.
I like the fact that you said we're each our own song, and there's no other song like us. And in today's world, that message is being told that you're not really special. That message is out there, that people in general, we're not really special. We don't really make an impact. We are the problem. We are not the solution. So you hear these kind of negative things out there. And so you have a book called The You Song for early readers that lets them know that, guess what, you are unique and you are special and God made you just the way he wanted you to be made. And so I really commend you for recognizing that that message has to be out there. I really appreciate that. So if you want to get Daughter of Jerusalem and the You Song, both of those books are available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Now, we are getting close to the end of our show today, so I want people to be able to connect with you. So go ahead and tell us what your social media outlets are.
Well, I have only two Facebook pages, one for mm-hmm. each of my books. And mm-hmm. I also have a website, joanneotto.com. Mm-hmm. And that's and I'm also a Goodreads author. That's right. I am a Goodreads author. So you can check me on any of those. Yeah.
Well, that's good. And so Joanne Otta as OTTA.com?
No, it's OTTO.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got A on here. I'm so sorry.
I thought she has the cutest accent.
And just got the word spelled wrong. Teach, I'm so sorry about that. Well, you know
but
what? Thank you so much.
It's a palindrome. It's a palindrome.
He's a palindrome, mother. Oh, gosh. Margaret, that episode of Phineas and Ferb. I am going to we're getting close to the end of our show, so we got about 5 minutes left now, but I want to have you speak to our authors out there today, because this show is all about encouraging authors to pick up a pen and write. So in the few moments that we have left, go ahead and send us some encouraging words to our listeners out there today.
Well, I took a course where you could sum it up in just this sentence: an idea has its own motor power. And I really like that thought. Of course, you need to lay the groundwork, developing your writing skills, and that, of course, is important. But it's the idea that really ignites it, that really puts them to work. And you can't rush that. Don't worry if it takes time, but wait for that idea to come, and once you've got that idea, run with it. But I think that's the main thing I would say, is that the idea has its own motor power, and it will move you.
Joanne, thank you. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the show today. Don't take it lightly that you're here with us, and I can't wait to have you back and have you back real soon.
Thank you so much, Parker, for having me. I just really enjoyed this very much.
And we were talking today to Joanne Otto. She is the author of the book Daughter of Jerusalem, which is available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure you go ahead and pick up Daughter of Jerusalem today. And also, if you have young readers, pick up the You Song. So many of us have young children who want to be known that they're special. They want to be known that they're unique. They want to know that. And you can help them by getting this book, The You Song, also available on Amazon.com. And what I like about The You Song that she mentioned was that there's all kind of ethnicities in this book, because God created us with a very nice paintbrush. All of us are all different colors, textures, tones, and not textures, but he made us all different colors, and he made us with kinky hair, silky hair, short hair, long hair, freckles, little, just different things, and we're all this unique song that we all share, and the song that we all share is the fact that we're all children of God, but we all have different notes that we play in this orchestra. So make sure you get the copy of The You Song today, as well as get Daughter of Jerusalem. And if you want to connect with Joanne, simply go to her website, joanneotto.com. That's JoanneOtto, palindrome.com. Thank you so much for joining us for this edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of The Right Stuff. Follow Parker online at ParkerJCole.com. To hear this show and other shows, visit the show archive at therightstuffradio.wordpress.com. We'll be back same time next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.